Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Broadcasting live from the Morgan & Morgan Studios,
this is the Bubba the Love Sponge Show.
Is that a Mark move to come in with a Fozzie deal when you're in here, Chris? Is that a Mark deal?
No, it'd be a Mark move if he played Break the Walls Down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which people still do sometimes.
So really it kind of is almost like I'm kind of over by playing something that you really do like, not the commercialized thing.
Kind of, but not really. It's kind of almost patronizing because that song was from about 7 years ago.
but you know what? I'll shove it right back up your ass. It was probably one of your best-selling singles.
Well, I'll shove it right back up your ass. You know that we have a number one song right now. Did you know that?
I'll shove it right back up your ass because it hasn't outsold Martyr No More yet.
Yes, it has.
No, it has not.
It has totally outsold
it. No, it has not.
It's our it's our biggest song ever.
What are you talking about?
Judas.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I have to argue with you over my own band.
You don't know nothing.
This isn't 2010.
You don't know nothing about your
own
band.
This isn't 2010 anymore, Bubba.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm trying to promote you, and then you're saying my old stuff is not as good as my new stuff.
It's all good stuff.
What if I played this one instead? What about that one?
That's
is that bad,
super
too?
Old, man.
Is that bad? Does that make me a bad
like
guy?
2000.
Does that make me a real dick, too?
It just makes you outdated. Okay, this one is from 2005. It's getting a little bit closer. A little bit closer.
So I wish I had the Walls of Jericho to play right now, just to mainstream it right out
but
of
you
the
don't
zookeeper.
Have it. You don't even have that in there.
I don't even have it.
Jeez, we got four songs in your system, Bubba.
No, I have all kinds of Fozzie in here, bitch. Look
I know
at
you
us.
Do. I know you
Sin
do.
Sin and Bones from Martyr No More.
There you go.
Half a Stance, Fozzie, okay, Eat the Rich,
you need to
End
put,
of Days,
you,
Over the Mountain, Ride in the Wind.
You need to put Judas in there. That's our number one song right now. Number one on Sirius for 4 weeks in a row.
Chris Jericho in the studio. He's just, my God, you're the busiest person I know. Like, you got books. That's what you're promoting now. You still work for Vince. You're still part of, you still own, you know, you're the lead singer and main man of Fozzie. You do a podcast. You do, television, like game show hosting and Dancing with the Stars and all that kind of deal. I love the 80s. Jesus, God, kid, slow down a little bit.
Well, you got to hustle, Bubba. You know that. I'm actually in your studio today. You've been letting me use it. Well, I'm sure letting me. I've been paying through the nose for it. Let's be honest. But I've been doing the audio book for my new book that comes out.
I've been
next
hearing
week.
You mess up a lot.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. It's hard. I've never done an audio book before. But the last time my book came out, I got in an argument with the company, so I said I'm not going to do it. So they got some Shakespearean actor to read my book,
and that pissed you off even more.
Well, because he was terrible. Because he was talking about.
But you do kind of have a Shakespearean approach.
Well, but the thing is, he didn't know how to pronounce anything. He was talking about Rey Mysterio Jr. doing the 619. right? Because that's how it's written. He didn't know anything about wrestling. He's like, and Rey Mysterio did the 619. And so I get all these fans going, hey, your audio guy screwed up. It's a 619. And I'm like, listen, I'm just going to do the damn thing myself. But when you sit in here to do
the
these
wrestler
things,
said K-fob.
Yeah, exactly. But to read a book, you think, oh, you're just reading a book. But
oh,
it's hard.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, it's like doing a line read, but for like, 10,000 words or whatever.
Well, and you
it is.
Also try to use the inflection of what the moments, because yeah. I've been listening to you a little bit. You know, I've been taking the out cues. I'm going to sell them for Gawker.
Please do. Maybe you'll make me $30 million too, man.
Oh, brother, I think you got yourself a deal, buddy.
But that's the thing. Like, you have to get every word right. And then I'm like, do I do accents? Do I try and imitate people's voices? Like, what the hell do I do? I don't know.
But you do change your inflection. It's pretty, it's pretty cool. Like, you know.
I'm just trying to be myself, and I don't want to just be reading the blue almonds roasted salted smart snacking. I'm just reading an almond.
See, the publishers
right
really worked you, Chris. They're like, you know what, screw you on the first book, buddy. We're gonna make it so bad that you'll never let us do that again.
Totally. Now I'm in here screaming at it, but actually I did pretty good. I was talking to Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols, and he's like, good luck in doing an audiobook. It took me 60 hours. And I was like, dude, it only took me 8. What's wrong with you? Like, I guess my Canadian accent is easier to read than his English one. But I think it does take some guys a long time. But I'm going to put you in this category too, Bubba. When you're right. used to reading lines and reading, you know, we got this news today or whatever it is, you kind of figure out how to do it and enunciate and get it right. So it's only taken me about 8 hours to do, I would say, probably 75,000 words. But it's hard, like I said. So that's what I've been in your studio doing.
And you truly do know that book inside and out after you have to do the audio version, because you've had to actually, you read it, you did read it, obviously, proofreading and all that kind of thing. But you really have to, like you said, enunciate and get into the storyline in order to be able to do it right.
You really do. And on top of that, it's like now I'm noticing, you think, okay, I've read, you read these things when you do a book, you read it over and you, there's an edit and edit and you proofread and you proofread. And this is about 10 or 12 drafts, and I'm reading it, and there's still mistakes in there. And I'm like, how did this get through? Like, I was reading.
But you got to read it.
I know, but I did read it, but reading it out loud.
I know, it sucks.
I was, like, talking about Batista going off and being a movie star, and it's like, name another actor who had a movie box office total of $3 million in his first two. I'm like, $3 million? That's nothing. It's $3
billion right.
is what it's supposed to say, but somehow it got million in there and just took Big Dave and cut him right off at the knees, so I apologize for that.
How is Big Dave doing nowadays?
He's doing, you tell me, man. He's like the movie star. Whenever they're looking, any studio looking for a big guy, they hire Batista. He's in, obviously, the Guardians movies. He's in a movie coming up with Jodie Foster. He's in the Blade Runner movie with Harrison Ford. He's like, did a movie with De Niro. He's the guy, you know, so good for him.
And of course, you know, The Rock, my God. Can you get any half? I mean, he's such a stud.
But here's another one, though. Cena's coming up now as becoming the new leading man.
Yeah, he's good.
You know, he's doing.
I'm not trying to sound stupid, but he has the it factor, does he not? Just when you see the guy cut a promo and his charisma, he just has.
Well, that's the thing, though.
Not
Bubba,
that you don't, because you got it too.
But there's certain guys, like when you work for Vince, and it's not everybody, but if you have, you know, some talent. I call it show business boot camp when you work for Vince, because you learn a little bit of everything. And on top of that, I mean, you're learning backstage, you're learning in front of the camera, you're learning live audience, you're learning drama, comedy, you know, stunts, whatever. But also the work ethic that we have when you work for Vince McMahon is second to none. And I think that's where we really stand out whenever we do. I mean, I just did a show in Toronto for a week, and we were doing 12, 14-hour days, and people are complaining and arguing, and I'm not like, I have no problem at all, because that's just what you do. You do what you have to do to get the job done. And when you work for Vince McMahon, it starts at the top and goes down from there. Everybody follows his lead, which is the ultimate workaholic. Maybe not as much as he does, but you get this really great work ethic to where you do what you have to do to get the job done. And I think that makes all of us from that crew stand out from the rest.
Is he not, though, talking about Vince McMahon, Chris Jericho in the studio? By the way, don't forget Chris's, you have a new book out. It's very cumbersome, Chris. The title is very, I mean, Chris, shorten it up, kid.
All of them, dude, my last four. Okay, let's go through the titles. A Lion's Tale Around the World in Spandex. Undisputed. How to Become the World Champion in 1,362 Easy Steps. The Best in the World at What? I Have No Idea. And now is No is a four-letter word, How I Failed Spelling but Succeeded in Life.
I think you just try to get to make it a little bit longer each time as a rib, just to see how much longer you can. It's an ongoing rib.
Yeah, just see
how long you can go with it.
It's more of a motivational self-help book. 20 principles of the things that I've learned on how I achieved all these goals that I've had over the years. How did I become a wrestler in a rock and roll band? I have 20 principles that I learned. There's the Gene Simmons principle, the Vince McMahon principle, you know, principles that from all these different people that I've met and learned from that kind of enabled me to achieve these goals. So I put them all in a book. It comes out next Friday, August 29th, so still 10 days from now or whatever. But on August 31st, and help me out with this. I hope somebody has it written down. I have a book signing in Tampa.
Barnes & Noble's, Carrollwood.
Okay, there you go.
Right there on Dale Mabry.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Which isn't that far from where you live.
It's not very far at all.
And it's going to actually be like it's a day before, I think, that it is. No, it's a couple days thereafter it's released, right? Because it gets released on the 29th.
I'll be in New York doing all the signings.
Now, how many New York bestsellers have you had?
I've had 3 New York Times bestselling books, 3 out of 3.
So look at you.
I hope I don't mess
I mean,
this
but
one
look
up.
At you now. Perfect like, seriously, school. Like, you know, there's, like, you talked about Cena and you talked about, you know, obviously The Rock
and
things like that. But, I mean, look at you. You're an accomplished author. You now, Of course, you could go out and take the strap tomorrow for Vince, and you probably, you're kind of one of the old school guys. You know how to work your ass off. You can do, you could go 5 minutes or you could go 55. So, you know, you're a great worker, but now you're kind of morphing into like a communicator, broadcaster, entertainer, audio kind of guy, too. I mean, it's pretty cool because not a lot of people get the audio aspect of the entertainment, how much different it is.
It's just branching out, though, Bubba. I mean,
your podcast, you make a ton of money on it.
Well, the podcast is doing really good. It's one of the top 10 in the world right now. And that's kind of begat my podcast network, which is the Jericho Network that has like 6 different shows on it. Yeah, it's all about branding, though, Bubba, as you know. So, yes, there's the podcast, there's the books, Fozzie, like
ABC
I said,
on the game show, Dancing with the Stars,
yeah,
all that crazy.
All that stuff, it's career, you know, your
but
career
bio. That's
all
huge branding, though. It's
huge. And that's what you want to do in this day and age. Because, you know, I still love wrestling, and I still will do it from time to time, but it's not, not the be-all, end-all for me at this point. And there's a lot of other things going on, and there's even more stuff that will happen over the next few months. It's going to be good, because what happens is when I step away from working for Vince, that's when I get a chance to kind of finish off or investigate all of these other projects that are kind of on the back burner when I'm working for the WWE, because you can't do a lot of other stuff when you work for WWE, because I don't just come in and do TVs or pay-per-views and leave. I'm there for the whole time.
That's the boys thing.
Yeah, you know, I do the house shows in Fort Myers. And
I heard you had your own dressing room now and everything.
Well, yeah, I share it with 20 other guys. Yeah, I've never been the guy. It is funny, though, because I do a lot of podcasting when I'm at the WWE shows.
Like so, in the back, right?
Yeah, and I'll ask them to find me a room, and they'll put the, you know, Chris Jericho in the dressing room that I have basically for 2 hours to do the podcast.
It's a broom closet.
It is, but I leave the sign up on the door, because I'm like, it makes me feel like Brock Lesnar has his own dressing room, Chris Jericho has his own dressing room.
And they don't know how big the room is at all. They just like, you know, Chris Jericho's got his own place there.
Yeah, exactly. It's a broom closet that you can't even really fit in, but the perception's reality, man. I'm
now,
all
how
about
many
that.
How many of the boys got their own dressing rooms in today's?
Not many. No, I mean, Goldberg had it when he was there, and Lesnar has it. You know, if Rock comes or something like that, the big guys that come in for one show. But other than that, there are no private separate dressing rooms.
Like,
everyone changes.
Taker never had his own, did he?
No, he didn't. But he always changes kind of in the talent relations room. And that's where I changed too, because there's, 50 guys stuffed into a room.
Right.
You know, Undertaker doesn't need to deal with that shit.
I got it.
And neither do I. So.
Now, can I ask you a stupid question, though?
Please.
Like, when you get there, and most of them are stupid.
Why stop now? Yeah.
Yeah. But when you get there, like, do some of the young guys, that are just, now starting to get a good run, or just, maybe just been doing it for 5 or so years, do they like, oh my God, there's Chris Jericho. Man.
You get that at first, but the thing is, I was working with most of them, so they get over that very quickly because we're working together. I mean, this whole thing I did with Kevin Owens last year and this year, which was one of the best things I've ever done as far as the whole storyline of it. I mean, Kevin Owens was a huge Y2J fan when he was growing up. And, it's funny to think about that. Sami Zayn and Enzo and Big Cass and all these guys were fans of the Attitude Era, quote unquote. And if you were a fan of the Attitude Era, then you kind of would be a fan of Chris Jericho, or at least have known my work.
That'd be like if Chris Jericho got to work Ricky the Steamboat, or
or Shawn Michaels. I mean, when
or,
I worked,
Owen, you know, one of the guy, one of the boys that you grew up.
Yeah, when I worked with Shawn Michaels, I was a huge Shawn Michaels fan as a kid and like kind of a disciple. And then you kind of get over that really quickly and realize, that you gotta go out there and make the donuts and have some great matches. So that goes away quickly, and that's a good feeling. When same thing with music, like when we toured with, let's say, Metallica. I mean, you're super nervous when you first meet these guys, because it's like, oh my gosh, I grew up as a hero. And then you realize, listen, that's great to have that respect, but you got to go out there and destroy, whether it's wrestling or whether it's a rock show.
I mean, even though Chris Jericho, you're like really important and super over. When you're back, I don't care who you are, when you open it up for Metallica or you're touring with Metallica and you're in that world, I mean, that's pretty damn,
It's a different, we did the Kiss Cruise a couple years ago, and there's a stage that right out the window above is where Paul Stanley's cabin is, and he's up there watching us play, and it's like, oh my gosh, like, this is crazy, we're on the Kiss Cruise playing, and Paul Stanley's watching us.
You and Gene are pretty close, aren't you?
I'm actually closer with Paul. Gene's a cool guy, but Paul's my boy.
Is Gene pretty big? He's a pretty big guy.
He's a tall guy. Yeah, he's a tall guy. Very kind of an intimidating presence with the way he acts, but he's fairly tall. And he's not actually like Sometimes he's come across like he's a little bit chunky or portly, but he's really not. He's got broad shoulders. He's a big dude.
Who's the one rock star that you may have met, no matter how iconic, or whether it's a Henry Rollins or whoever, that you know, I wouldn't say would stretch you, but would be like, you know, shoot style might give you a tough time.
Well, when Zach Wilde was drinking, he'd always want to fight or tackle you, or he punched me in the arm for, you get hard punch. Like, why did you punch me? Like, you know, you get punched in the shoulder, it just really hurts.
He just comes to punch you.
He would do that all the time.
He's actually coming in studio next month.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell him that.
Tell
him
Chris to come in and kind of cowboy punch him from the blind side.
He's a wild man.
He's got a real hard punch, but he's stopped drinking. So now he just, he's not as crazy as he used to be. Now, see how many straight answers you get out of Zach Wilde. I'll tell you that
maybe
much.
Maybe give us some shooters to ask him. Maybe you can give us a couple little, you know.
No, he won't answer anything. He'll just talk about his sexy ass, and he'll just go off. You wait and see. You'll get a laugh out of him. But, yeah, he's a big dude, right? So he's a guy that
you can I tell always... him that you, I can actually use this audio saying, hi, this is just Chris Jericho, and you're lucky Wilde I'm out there because I beat your ass.
No, right I'm now. Scared of Zach. You kidding me? You see the chain that he wears around his, wait, you see the chain he comes in with? He's got this giant chain around his waist, but he was always a pretty you know solid big dude. But that's about the only one I can think of off by hand.
How's Christian and Edge doing?
I haven't seen them in a while, man. Have
you done their podcast?
They do have one. Yeah, they do have one. But
it's doing pretty good, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, they have good guests and stuff, and they're funny guys. You know, they work well together. So
now, you
sure
guys always
great.
Been close, haven't you? Just being Canadian.
Well, you know how it is, man. Well, just being Canadian. I mean, that'd be like saying you're close because you're American. With you know, it's just Canadian. There's 40 million people in Canada, but
yeah, but Canada people are the coolest.
Well,
ever.
I mean, I think
you know we're hurting Canada.
One thing I know, like in Oshawa or something. There you go.
Offshore. Is that what you just said?
Oshawa.
Is it offshore?
Offshore. Yeah, man. I mean, like I said, it's when you're on the road with somebody, it's like being in the army or something in a battle. And when you don't see them for a while, you might not see them again for a few years, but it's still like, you know, it's like having an old war friend. You see them and it's like not a day has gone by.
Well, they were Tampa boys. Is Christian still a Tampa boy?
Yeah. Edge lives in North Carolina now. And I think Christian lives in Tampa, but I haven't seen him in a long time. But I think he still lives here.
Now, what is it about Tampa? I don't know if anybody's ever asked this question, probably, but that is like you came obviously from Canada when you got into business and relocated to Tampa. And, you know, God, all the over the year, I mean, you know, Batista and Cena and Sheamus and, you know, obviously Greg the Hammer, the old school guys, Hammer and Hogan and Nasty Boys and Neidhart and, you know, Brutus and Hercules and the Briscoes and I think the Road Warriors. Like, was it a thing in the industry that you went to Tampa for? Why?
I don't know, dude. Like I said, I grew up in Canada and then I moved down to Orlando. I didn't like Orlando and I came up to Tampa, so... I think when everybody started coming down here, they were looking for a place to live, and it's like, well, Jericho lives in Tampa. What do you think? Well, I like it. So then Edge came down, the Christian, and all the other guys started Test. Moving down here. Test, Val Venus. But then I think they started the Performance Center originally in Tampa, which has now moved to Orlando. So it's just been a Florida-based company now at this point in a lot of ways. I mean, obviously, it's still always up in Stamford, but there's a lot of Florida involvement. And I think, too, you know, when you're coming from Canada, Tampa's a great place because this is how you figure out if it's a good place to live in. What's the airport like?
And the airport is always one of the easiest voted, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to get in and out of.
Like, what's the worst, by other standards, Chris, what's the worst airport? Because you've traveled through every airport
in the
world.
I'll tell you right off the bat, JFK in New York.
The worst.
Worst airport in the world. The worst. Well, Charles de Gaulle in Paris is worse. But JFK has the worst security in the entire United States as far as TSA and all that stuff getting through it. It takes, if you guys are going through JFK, anybody, get there 2 hours early. Like every other airport, get there 30 minutes early. This one, it's the worst, and they don't care. It's the epitome of New York. Yes, they do not give a crap. And I will not fly. And I'm at the point now where I can choose where I want. Okay, if you say, hey, you got a show in New York, great. Don't fly me through JFK. Well, it's more expensive. I don't care. I'm not going to JFK. And if I go to Europe, don't fly me through Paris. Charles de Gaulle. I won't do it because it's too much stress.
Man,
it's too much
timer hassle.
Yeah, and I'm a big timer in the fact that I can choose which damn airport I fly in and out of. So keep me out of those places. I won't do it.
What about like O'Hare?
Easy. No problem.
Atlanta?
Atlanta's super easy. That's a great airport.
And you never have any transfers through Tampa because obviously you live here. But I mean, Tampa's
a great airport.
Hogan and all the guys like would all say, man, it's one of the best airports to travel to and from.
I mean, they got a lot of construction going on there right now, and they need to kind of finish that up. But as far as just accessibility and being an easy place to get in and out of, Tampa's the place to be. So
you still got the strap from WCW. Weren't you the last guy to be the title holder before they switched over?
No, they'd already...
I thought you had the belt. You're the last one to have the belt.
Well, I mean, they take that thing away from you as soon as you get... It's not like you get to keep it or anything like
Hogan
that.
Hogan had this an is original...
The 70s. Yeah, but he came in the 70s and 80s. They probably kept that shit. For me, it's like, as soon as you lose it, they take it.
Physically. Is it true that you have a travel belt and then they got a TV belt?
Yeah, they do now. They didn't before, but they do now.
Like, would you ever be traveling with the real belt and, like, you'd be like, oh, God, I can't lose it. If I lose it, I'm going to get in trouble. And then would you have to literally,
come
like...
Come on, man. I'm not a mark. Oh, you mean lose it as far as lose it?
No, I'm not talking about lose it as in dropping it, like, to the next guy on TV.
That's the thing.
I was talking about physically, like, misplacing it because you were out all night like the rock star that you are. You don't know where your championship belt is.
Man.
And you're freaking out and you're calling the front office. You don't know what to do.
No, dude, you just got to, like, it's one of those things you have to carry it with you. You know, you don't check, you don't bag check a title belt or something like that. So it's always on you at all times, which sometimes in the morning kind of sucks if it's like 7 in the morning and you're going through TSA and someone's like, what you got in there? I got a belt, you know, title, a championship title. Hey, look at this. Hey, Johnny, look at he's got a title. What are you, a boxer?
Yeah.
He's a wrestler? Hey, look at this. And he's holding up the belt, and there's like, you know, 15 people come over to look at it, and it's like, can I just please?
100 people who didn't know you were now know who you are.
Or still don't know, but it's like, hey, I don't know who the hell you are, but
you look famous, and you got a belt.
Take a picture with you?
And it's like, from Manchester, Iowa, and I don't know. Thank you. I'm going to go Google you as soon as I get my picture.
And you don't have to commit anymore. Back in the day, if you wanted to take a picture with someone, you'd have to carry your camera with you.
Right.
Like if I went to the matches or to the rock and roll show, I'd have to carry my camera. Now you just have your phone. It's like, I don't even really barely know who that is, but I'll take a picture with them. What the hell? I'll show my friends. What a gas. And it's like you sitting
there.
They
got some big story behind it.
Man, me and Chris Jericho had 75 beers in between Atlanta shuttles, and he's the coolest guy ever. And he says he's got a G5 and he's got
a G5.
He just finally flying commercial right now to make it look good because Vince said he had to do it that way.
Hey,
you know, like the Million Dollar Man kind of deal.
I got to I got to go to work. I got a podcast guest waiting for you.
You come in the studio, demand to be on.
I said 15 minutes, and it's been 25, so I've been more than fair with you.
Thank you very much.
I've been more than fair with you. I bet you I gave you a better interview than Andrew Dice Clay did.
You know what? And I bet you I interviewed better than the next guy. You're going to interview, you son of a bitch.
Jeez, man. See, you wonder
why.
Man, I like everyone in your studio except for you, Bubba. You've never changed. You've always been a jerk off.
I always liked Hunter better than you, too.
Well, good. Okay, good. Good luck in getting Hunter on the
That's
show
true.
To see what happens.
You know what? You make a great point.
You
on
know,
that
yeah,
one.
You don't have a guest on a Tuesday morning. Who do you call? Jericho. And here I am.
Well, no, you're using me. You're like the typical wrestler. You're just getting something from me. You wouldn't be here regularly.
Right.
You know that.
Yeah,
you wouldn't
sure.
be here. One-way Clem. Sure. That's what they call me.
Sure, sure. I told them that I know you when I said that I was going to book the studio. They said they charged me double.
No, you said, I know that guy's really down on his luck. I need to throw a friend a bone. I'll throw him a few bucks.
He's on AM radio now. We got to help him out.
He went to Jess and said, Jess, rather than the contribution we're giving to the American Heart Association, I'm just going to book 3 hours of Bubba's place.
I'm not even going to show
honey,
up.
Okay, honey, I'll tell our tax the guy that.
Thanks, brother.
17 years, my friend, you've been married. How about that, huh?
That's crazy,
right? Hell of a woman right there putting up with your ass. I'm just
saying.
Yeah,
no kidding, man.
Anyway,
and
I know
she's
going
to be there on August 31st at Barnes & Noble Carrollwood when Chris Jericho's there to sign No is a four-letter word, my new book.
And as
very
a mark,
easy, a title to remember.
Don't walk up and...